Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, February 11th, 2015. And on today's podcast, we are again going to discuss the nation of Ukraine. We have visited there many times in these podcasts, but the crisis there between pro-Russian rebels and pro-Western government forces in Kiev, the crisis deepens. First, a little background so we can understand something about this conflict. Ukraine is a country located on Russia's western border. It has been either a part of Russia or at least under Russian domination for centuries. So Ukraine has Russia to its east, Poland, and Romania to its west, both NATO countries. Ukraine is caught between two worlds, between two gigantic powers fighting for control of it. Ukraine has always been the farmland used to feed Russia, so it is very, very important to them. During the time of feudalism in Tsarist Russia, in the 1800s, when the peasant class was bound to owners of the land, the peasant was part of the land, like the livestock and tools used to work it. But feudalism ended in 1860, although it continued informally for a while. The young of the landowner class left the land after the end of feudalism and moved to the cities. And out of their agitation came the communist revolution of 1917. The peasants lived communally after the end of feudalism. They lived communally and they negotiated communally with the landlords. Feudalism kept them thinking communally, not individually. There were no Thomas Jeffersons, no James Madisons around when they negotiated with their landlord. Out of this peasant class, at the end of feudalism, came a young Joe Stalin. He emerged from this class as one of the early agitators. What relevance does any of this have today? Well, Ukraine did not have feudalism, you see. It was always prosperous farmland. Why? Because it was the breadbasket of Europe and certainly of Russia. Russia needed a prosperous Ukraine to keep the Russian people from starving, so it was spared much of the turmoil, but not so today. It's still vitally important. It still is supposed to feed Russia, but who feeds Russia today? World Wars I and II were fought there. Some of the greatest battles in the history of mankind have been fought on the plains of Ukraine. But afterward, Ukraine remained a part of the Soviet Union. All that changed with the Soviet breakup of 1989 to 91, as Ukraine became a free and independently elected government, although that government leaned toward Russia until the recent pro-Western coup there. Would it bother anyone if Russia instigated a coup in Canada and installed a pro-Russian government there, supplied that government with weapons, threatened to station troops there? I would hope it would bother someone. I would hope that Washington would not like it one bit. But Ukraine is a lot closer to Russia than Canada is to the United States. Since Canada has never been a part of the United States, does it surprise anyone then that Russia sees Ukraine and Western influence there and possible NATO membership there as a strategic threat to Russia? Meanwhile, there is a serious war going on there in the eastern part of Ukraine, especially right on the Russian border. Russia has troops in the Donbas province fighting in support of pro-Russian rebels. The United States is considering providing lethal aid, i.e. weapons, to the pro-Western government, a move it has avoided to date. President Obama's nominee for Secretary of Defense, Ashton Carter, has said he would be in favor of transferring military equipment, Germany and France, of course, NATO members, under the influence of Washington, Angela Merkel of Germany, Francois Hollande of France, have been meeting with Mr. Putin in an effort to keep Europe out of a wider conflict. Both have said they don't think providing weapons to Ukraine would help the situation. But they are meeting in Minsk today with Mr. Putin to discuss this. The U.S. could always use former Soviet satellites, which are now members of NATO, to supply these weapons. Countries such as Poland, Bulgaria, and Slovakia all operate advanced Russian-made anti-air and anti-tank systems. The Russians are not sitting idly by while this is going on. Russian nuclear-armed bombers have flown over the English Channel and along both coasts of the U.S. Western military aid to Ukraine might provide Russian retaliation and a broader war in which Ukrainian troops already with poor morale and poor state of readiness could be overwhelmed. The danger obviously is of the war spreading and engulfing Ukraine and possibly breaking out into other areas of Europe. Two nuclear-armed nations facing each other. A very dangerous situation, as it is hard to see either side losing such a conflict with nuclear missiles still in their silos. In the meantime, the people of Ukraine suffer. They're cold, they're hungry, they're homeless. In the breadbasket of Europe, they endure a harsh winter as victims of war over which they have no say. These winters, these Ukrainian winters, halted the advance of Napoleon and the advance of Hitler. But usually, history teaches us nothing. The Ukrainian people, especially the old and the young, trying to survive the winter without proper shelter or food. Coal is scarce to non-existent. There is no voice for them, no voice of sanity to help them. What should happen here, folks? Well, I don't think Russia is interested in rebuilding the Soviet Empire. Their economy is in a shambles. Their greatest companies collapsing around them. I think there is room for compromise here. Eastern Ukraine, made up mostly of Russian people, is going to have to remain a part of Russia as a buffer zone. NATO is going to have to agree not to try to bring Ukraine into its influence. Something could work out. All this in a land of plenty. Finally, folks, pray that the leaders of the world recover from whatever delusion inhabits their minds, and there is an end to this conflict. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.